إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله we'll continue with the sharh of the book الأربعين في حقوق رب العالمين from حديث 33 الحديث الثالث والثلاثون عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال فوالذي نفس بيدي لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده متفق عليه نعم the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم as Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه reported said فوالذي نفسي بيدي I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul لا يؤمن أحدكم none of you is a true believer حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده until I'm more beloved to him than his father and his children. In some of the reports we have حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولده ووالده والناس أجمعين until he loves me more than he loves his children, his parents, and all the people. That is, I'm the most beloved person to him. In some of the reports we have حتى أكون أحب إليه من أهله وماله والناس أجمعين until he loves me more than his family, more than his wealth, and the generality of the people. So this hadith is telling us about the love that we should have for the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we love him more than any other person, more than ourselves, more than our family, more than all the people, our children inclusive. This is the love that is required of us, that we love the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam than any other person. So and that's why we have it in the hadith. لا يؤمن أحدكم none of you is a good believer حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين until he loves me more than he loves his father or his mother more than he loves his children, more than he loves the generality of the people. So, and this is the meaning of Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. We love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than we love any other person. More than we love any other person. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala recorded in his Sahih that Umar radiallahu anhu said to the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, innaka ahabbu ilayya min kulli nas illa nafsi. He said, you are more beloved to me than all the people except myself. That is, I love myself more than I love you. But apart from myself, I love you more than any other person. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La ya Umar, hatta akuna ahabba ilayka min nafsik, until you love me than you love yourself. You love me more than you love yourself. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, Anta ahabbu ilayya min nafsi. You are more beloved to me than myself. Messenger of Allah said, Al-ana ya Umar, it is now that you have really attained the real love. That is, by loving me more than yourself. So if we look at this hadith, it tells us the position the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam should occupy in our hearts. The position he should occupy in our hearts. We will not raise our voices above his voice. If we were to be alive and we were to be before him, if he talked, we would not raise our voices above his. And that was why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned the companions. He said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabiyyi, wa la tajharu lahu bil qawli ka jahri ba'dikum li ba'din an tahbata a'malukum wa antum la tash'urun. Allah says, O you believe, do not raise your voices above the voice of the messenger. لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْكَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. Do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ. And when you are addressing him, don't address him in such a way that you will be raising your voice on him. أَنْ تَحْبَطُ عَمَالُكُمْ. This can lead towards all your good deeds being destroyed. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Why you do not feel this, you don't perceive it. You think you still have good deeds, but your good deeds have been lost. Your good deeds have been lost as a result of you raising your voices above the voice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or you addressing him in a very loud voice which shows disrespect. So it is clear from this verse that when you say you love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should have adab with him. You don't raise your voice above his voice. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no more alive, but his statement, his message is still with us. So when a hadith of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is put to us, an authentic hadith, And somebody says, don't quote a hadith to me, I don't want to hear it. And the person claims he loves the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This undoubtedly is going to be a fake love. It's going to be a fake love. True love is when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam statement is mentioned before you. You watch, you listen, you take it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُ سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. The statement of the believers, whenever they are invited to the word of Allah and to the word of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be a kind of judgment between them or amongst them, and يَقُولُ سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. It's for them to say, سَمِعْنَا, we have heard, وَأَطَعْنَا, and we are ready to obey. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Such people are the مُفْلِحُونَ, are the successful ones. Meaning those who oppose the word of Allah or oppose the word of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are not among the successful ones. They are not among the successful ones. So as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in another verse, that فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. Allah says, they are not believers. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. If anything happens amongst them, anything ensues amongst them, they make you the judge. They make you the judge. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. Whatever be your judgment, none of the parties involved will have any grudges against what you have said. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, and be completely submit to what you have said. So Allah says, what? لا يؤمنون, they are not believers. So for you to be true believers, you have to submit yourself to the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, حَيًّا, whether he was alive or Nathan, or after his death. The statement while he was alive is the same thing as the statement after his death. The statement while he was alive is the same thing as the statement after his death. So that's why some people ascribe themselves to Islam, but when the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned or are mentioned to them, they reject it. They prefer to follow what they meet their fathers, or they met their fathers doing. They prefer to follow the customs of the people. They prefer to follow the practices of the society, rather than following what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. And that was why in the Tendi hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يُشِكُ الرَّجُلُ مُتَّكِئًا عَلَىٰ أَرِكَةٍ يُحَدَّثُ بِحَدِيثٍ مِّنْ حَدِيثٍ فَيَقُولُ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ فَمَا وَجَدْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ حَلَالٍ حَلَّلْنَاهُ وَمَا وَجَدْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ حَرَامٍ حَرَّمْنَاهُ أَلَا فَإِنَّ مَا حَرَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مِثْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ. Some people, they claim they only believe in the Quran. They don't believe in the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يُوشِكُ الرَّجُلُ مُتَّكِيًا عَلَىٰ أَرِكَةٍ. The time will come that somebody will be lying on his cushion. يُحَدَّثُ بِحَدِيثٍ مِّنْ حَدِيثٍ. One of my statements my sayings will be narrated to him. He will say, بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. Don't bring that to me. What I believe in is the book of Allah. So let us go back to the book of Allah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he will say that, so whatever the Quran says it is halal, is what we consider to be halal. Whatever the Quran says it is haram, is what we consider to be haram. Apart from the Quran, we do not take any other thing. Messenger of Allah said, listen, he was addressing his companions. فَإِنَّمَا حَرَّمَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ whatever the Messenger of Allah declared to be haram, مِثْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ has the same weight as what Allah has prohibited. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَى he doesn't speak out of vain desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى what he tells you is what Allah has revealed to him. So what I'm trying to say is essence is that it is part of your love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not to raise your voice above it. Likewise, his statement you accept, you don't reject. The one who claims he loves the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and rejects a statement, such a person cannot be a true believer. Such a person cannot be a true believer by rejecting the statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He should prefer the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to all other statements. He should prefer the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to that of his parents, to that of his children, to that of his beloved ones. That of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should supersede all other statements, including his own statement. If he has a statement or he has a feeling, and what he thinks or he feels, he gets to learn that there is a statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that goes against what he has felt or what he has thought as a lover of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He should throw away his own thoughts, his feeling, and take to the statement of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why when Umar radiallahu anhu said, I love you more than every other person except myself, he said, La hatta hakuna ahabba ilayka min nafsik. You are not a true believer until you love me more than you love yourself. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, if that is the case, you are more beloved to me than myself. Then he said to Umar, Al-Ana ya Umar, now you are a true believer. You are a true believer. So we don't raise any other person above that of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Above the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, here that person is to us. Not our parents, not our children, not our wives, not our relatives, not our bosses. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be higher in our minds, in our hearts, than any other person. That is true love. True love, which is what? Which is presence, or which manifests itself in the way we relate with the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the way we relate with the statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So So this is something that is very, very important. If you want to try yourself, you want to know how far you are. So the best way for you to know this is for you to know how much you love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the position the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam occupies in your heart? Which position does it occupy in your heart? Do you love yourself more than the Prophet? Do you love your wife, your husband, your parents, your children more than the Messenger of Allah? If yes, then the iman has not been established. The iman has not been established. The iman will be established when you love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than any other person. And this will be seen in your action. Then you can implement إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. The statement of the believers whenever they are invited to the Messenger of Allah, whenever they are invited to the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is for them to say سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We have asked and we are ready to abide. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These are the successful ones. So when we point out that this ayah, we know the implication of what Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. When he said, فَوَلَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحْدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ. None of you is a true believer until he loves me more than he loves his parents and his children. More than he loves his parents and his children. So somebody who really loves the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who always give precedence to the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam over that of his parents, over that of his wives, over that of his children, over that of the generality of the people. This is where the true love lies. Loving any person can be a claim. Everybody can claim that. I can claim I love you, you can claim you love me. So this is something that is simple, it's easy to claim. But the true love is only manifested in the way you relate with my statements, with my commands, with things that have to do with me. That is where the true love will be manifested. And that is why when some people claim they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah revealed a verse that is called Ayatul Imtihan. Ayatul Imtihan, the verse of test, where Allah will test you. And that is the verse in Surah Al Imran. Qul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah. If you love Allah, then follow me. Whatever I tell you, whatever I instruct you, whatever I bring to you as a piece of information to believe, you believe it, you take it. Whatever I ask you to do, you do. Whatever I ask you to go away from, you go away from. That is when the love of Allah that you are claiming, that is when it will be manifest. The love of Allah that you claim. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ. The one who loves Allah, Allah will love him. The one who loves Allah, Allah loves the person. And whoever Allah loves, such a person is going to be admitted into Al-Jannah. But anybody can lay claim that he or she loves Allah. But when you are not obeying Allah by obeying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love is said to be a false love. a false claim which anybody can do. Which anybody can do. Anybody can claim it. So, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ. That is the only condition, huh, with which Allah will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. What you have done of sins, Allah is ready to forgive you those things. But for you to continue to claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are doing the opposite of what He has commanded, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to believe in, you don't believe in it, and you say you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited, you are wallowing in those things and you claim you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this can never be a true love. So the love of Allah is tied to the love, is a tie to the what? To the obedience of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So meaning, if you want to lay claim that you love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have to obey his teachings. The information he has brought, you believe in the information. Any other information, contrary to that information he has brought, you don't believe in it. If it is contrary to what the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought, you don't believe in such information. And if it's something he has ordered you to do, you do. If it's something that he has warned you against, you go away from it. So your level of love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be determined by how much you carry out his order, how much you go away from his prohibitions, how much you believe in the information he has brought. So this can tell us how much you love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But for us to leave the love of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to empty claim, almost everybody can do this. I can tell you I love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than you. But this is an empty claim. Anybody can say that. But how are we going to prove it? How are we going to ascertain that you love, that I love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than you do? This is what? By looking at my actions, my statements, are they in line with the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And that was why somebody, I think it was Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, who said this poem, فَعَصِدْ إِلَهَا وَأَنْتَ تَزْعُ مُحَبَّهُ هَذَا مُحَالٌ فِي الْقِيَاسِ بَعْدِهِ. You are disobeying Allah often and often, and you are laying claim to His love, that you love Allah. This is something that is very, very strange. Something that is very, very strange. How can you be disobeying somebody and you are claiming you love the person? A child disobeying the order of his mother or her mother, and is what? Is claiming that he or she loves the mother. Is the mother going to take that? The father being disobeyed by the child, and the child is claiming that he loves the father. So this, the father will not take this. When your father instructs you to do something, or your mother instructs you to do something, when you carry out what your father or your mother has instructed you to do, that shows you love your father, you love your mother. But you refuse to do what your father or your mother has instructed you, he or she can never take that as what has been an act of love. The only time it will be taken as an act of love is when what your father or your mother tells you goes against that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you prefer that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we say you disobey your mother, you disobey your father because you do not want them to be admitted into hell. So your mother has not asked you to do something that is against that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Being what he or she asks you to do is a sign of what? Love. It's a sign of love that you love her, you love him. But you don't do what your parents want you to do and you continue to shout that you love them, you love them. This will not be taken. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْعَعْلَى. And Allah has the best example. When you go against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you do that for other people, are you going to say you love Allah in that regard? The answer is no. You can't tell me that, well, there is somebody whose love should be higher and greater in your heart than that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we were talking about our parents, we said if our parents instruct us to do what is against that of Allah, we give precedence to that of Allah over that of our parents, because the love of Allah should be higher and greater in our hearts than that of our parents. The same thing can be said of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be higher and greater in our hearts than that of our mother, than that of our father. So when you now lay claim, you love your mother, you love your father, and you don't carry out what they instruct you to do, things that they ask you not to do is what you are doing. What type of love is that? And you claim you love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you are doing things that is contrary to the teachings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So ta'asi ilaha wa anta tazwa muhabba. You disobey Allah and you continue to claim that you love Allah. هذا قياس هذا محال في القياس بعدين. This is something that is what? That is strange, funny. لو كان حبك صادقا لأطعته. If you love him, you will obey him. إن المحب لمن يحب مطيع. What is practical and what is commonplace is that any person who loves a person always and readily obeys that person. Always and readily obeys that person. Inna al-muhibba liman yuhibbu muti'. So this tells us that the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is manifested, is established, is proven by how much you listen to his words, how much you carry out his injunctions, how much you go away from things that are forbidden. So the one who loves the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam most amongst us is the one that obeys him most. A simple equation. The one who loves, who obeys the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam most is the one who loves him most. The one who disobeys him most is the one who hates him most. Then we will say that any person who disobeys the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any aspect or in one aspect or another, he obeys him in a lot of aspects, but maybe in a particular issue, he doesn't do what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded. Maybe based on vain desire, he prefers his soul in that particular matter to what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. We will say he's not a believer at all, but we'll say what? He's not a true believer. And now we are in the case of the man who takes intoxicants, the companion that will take intoxicants, and will be brought to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever he was brought, they will flog him, because that is the ruling. Whoever takes intoxicants should be what? Be flogged. So they will flog him, they will carry out the ruling on the person. So anytime he was brought, he will be caned. Anytime he was brought, he will be caned. So some companions felt this had been what? Had been repetitive, so to say. It had been occurring often and often. So one day, one of them said, La'anaka Allah. May Allah distance you from His mercy. Ma akthara ma yutalik. Many times they brought you here. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what? La takunu awna shaytan ala akhikum. Don't be a threat of shaytan over your brother. Innahu yuhibbu Allah wa rasulah. He loves Allah and His messenger. So we have to watch the two hadith that is loving Allah is that what you obey Allah. Loving the messenger of Allah is that you obey the messenger of Allah. But let's assume somebody disobeys Allah on one matter or the other. As long as well, it's not something that takes him out of the fold of Islam, we will not remove from him outright what? Love of Allah. Or the outright or love of the Messenger of Allah. We think so what? We have love of the Messenger of Allah. However little, the love is healing. Because the Messenger of Allah said what? Inna yuhibbullah wa rasulah. But despite that, Messenger of Allah didn't say what? You shouldn't be caged. Huh? Anytime he was brought, you'll be caged. Anytime he was brought, you'll be caged. And that when somebody commits zina, who expunge you from Islam, as long as what? He does not legalize the zina that he has committed. But who say he shouldn't be caged? Why? Because he will do a lot of salah, he will do a lot of zakah, he will go on hajj, he will perform umrah. Look, this is nonsense. He has committed a crime, he should be flogged. He should be flogged, that is the ruling. And that was why those people who committed zina during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and were brought. So they were dealt with accordingly. And this is not expungent from what? The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. So the love is still there, but the love has reduced. So when Umar radiallahu anhu said, I love you more than any other person except myself. The Messenger of Allah corrected him and said, no, you should love me more than yourself. So the fact that he loves him more than every other thing, that's an indication that what he has the love of the Messenger of Allah. But that love is not perfect. Until what? He loves the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam above every other thing. That is when one's love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes perfect. So know that whenever you are engaging in an act of sin, the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you have is reducing. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have is reducing. You will not be doing things that are un-Islamic, that are against the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what? Your love will be increasing. No, your love is decreasing. The love you have for Allah and His Messenger is decreasing. So your love of Allah, your love of the Messenger of Allah increases with acts of obedience. With acts of obedience. It decreases with acts of disobedience. So who say what? You don't love Allah at all because you fall in one sin or the other. But you say what? Your love for Allah has reduced, has decreased based on that. Unless if what you have done is something that takes you out of the fold of Islam. This is the way Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is really tricky. So Messenger of Allah says concerning that man, Inna yuhibbullah wa rasulullah. He loves Allah and His Messenger. But despite that, he didn't say they shouldn't flog him. They flog him. They flog him because he commits a crime or he committed a crime that warrants being flogged. The same thing is applicable to somebody who is engaged in one bidah or the other. The one who is engaged in one bidah or the other. Such a person, you hate him for that bid'ah that he has done. And if he's doing sunnah, you love him for that sunnah that he has done. So if the bid'ah that he's doing is something that his attention has been called to and he repeats it, then in that case you want people against him. So this is what is the way of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala said, إِذَا أَبَقْتَ رَجُلًا لِلَّهِ If you love somebody for the sake of Allah, thumma ahdatha hadatha. Then he now commits a bid'ah. He does a bid'ah. He said, when he does this bid'ah, walam tubhidhu. You do not hate him. That is, as far as that thing is concerned, you don't hate him for that. He says, walam tubhidhu billah. You do not love him for the sake of Allah. So when you see somebody that you love is engaged in one bid'ah, as far as that thing is concerned, you hate him for that. You hate him for that. He won't say people should watch, should turn their faces away, their eyes away from that. After all, he has done this, he has done. No. That particular thing that he's doing that is against the sunnah, you have to hate him for that. That means you love the person for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah. So this is something that is important. So this tells us what some people are doing today with the establishment of the Mawlid al-Ihtifal bil Mawlid al-Nabawi. Those who are introduced the celebration of the body of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say they love the Messenger of Allah. By what introducing that? How can that be the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said you should be celebrating his birthday. He never said that. He himself never celebrated it. The companions did not celebrate his birthday. The tabi'un did not. The atba'u tabi'in did not. The scholars who came after them did not. The usual celebration of the birthday of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not come until around 362 above, when the Ubaydiyyun, those who call themselves Fatimiyyun, who ascribe themselves to Fatima radiallahu anha, when they introduce the celebration of the birthday of the Prophet Ali, Hassan, Hussein, Fatima, they introduce the celebration of this birthday. And this continued like that until it got to the time that their dynasty, that is the Ubaydi dynasty, those who call themselves the Fatimiyyun, until their dynasty came to an end around 567 Hijra. So when it was taken over by the Ayyubid dynasty, led by Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. Salahuddin al-Ayyubi cancelled all other celebrations that he would do. But that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still being practiced. So one of the kings in Erbil, that is a place in Iraq till now, so was the one who now gave it a kind of publicity. So the extent that they will slaughter cows, camels, key goats, they will slaughter hens and the likes, and people will be eating, they will be drinking, dancing, rejoicing. So this ruler called Al-Malik Al-Muzaffar Abu Sa'id Al-Kukuburi was the one who did something that is very elaborate. And since then people have been doing it. Since then people have been doing it. When you ask them, why are you doing this? They say what? Because we love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So your love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will make you introduce what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do. Messenger of Allah never did it. Why it will be something that is very important to do, he will be the first person to have done it. Since he didn't do it, his companions did not do it, the tabi'un did not do it, the atba'u tabi'un did not do it, then that can never be part and parcel of the deen. The love of Allah, of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is not displayed through this. So, because it is sunnah tarkiyya, it is sunnah tarkiyya. What do we call sunnah tarkiyya? Sunnah tarkiyya is something that we believe is good. People believe this is good. But the Messenger of Allah did not do it. And There was every opportunity for him to do it, but he didn't do it. Something that the Messenger of Allah did not do. But there were what? Opportunities for him to do, but he didn't do it. To celebrate the birthday of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was what? There was opportunity for that in this time, but he didn't do it. Rather, he celebrated Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. He didn't celebrate Eid al-Mawlid Nabawi. He didn't do that. So that shows it is Sunnah Tarkiyah. It's something Messenger of Allah did not do. So the Sunnah Fi'liyah is what he did, which is what? Celebration of Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Celebration of Mawlid Nabi is what? Is Sunnah Tarkiyah. He didn't do it. So for us to not say we are going to do it because we love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what? This is life. He has told us, Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa raddun. So whoever introduces in this matter of ours what is not part of it, fahuwa raddun, it is rejected. It is rejected. Man amila amalan laysa li amruna fahuwa raddun. Whoever does something that is not part and parcel of what has been brought for waradun is also rejected. So the celebration of Eidu, or celebration of the birthday of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is has no place at all. Those who introduced it originally, they were innovators that a lot of scholars whom did not consider as Muslims. I mean the Ubaydiyyun. And those who took it over from them and gave it publicity, made it in an elaborate way, like the king of Erbil, Abu Sa'id al-Kukumuri. So this was not something that the scholars of the past also did. So it is rejected. What a king introduces that does not have the practice of the Salaf al-Salih is something that we reject. It's something that we reject. So today, people, they say they are celebrating Eid al-Mawlid al-Nabawi. The Eid of al-Mawlid al-Nabawi. So this is what is baseless. What you can do in order to love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is for you to abide by what he has commanded. So Mawlid Nabi celebration is not part of what he has commanded. So we should leave it. We should ask people to leave it. We should not assist those who are doing it. Because this will be what? At-ta'awun ala al-ithm wa al-udwan. We are assisting people on sin and transgression. So introducing things that are not part and parcel of the deen, all in the name that what? We want to show the love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This will be encouraged. Some people, they accuse us that when you say there is no basis for celebration of the birthday of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say you ate him. You ate him, that's why you are saying that. But who ate him? Is it we or you? There are hundreds of things you have commanded. You refuse to do them. Hey, in the Quran and the Sunnah, you refuse to do that. There are hundreds of things he has prohibited. In the Quran and the Sunnah, you are wallowing in those things. Then those who are doing things he has commanded and going away from things he has forbidden, you are accusing them of not loving the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah said, "Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah." Then you introduce what the companions did not do, what the Tabi'un did not do, what the Atba'u Tabi'in did not do, what did not come into practice until after about 5-6 centuries among the people who ascribe to Sunnah. I said until after 5-6 centuries among the people who ascribe to Sunnah, because those who first practiced it, they were Ubaydiyyun, they were Shia. So those who ascribe themselves to Sunnah, they didn't practice this until what? After about 6 centuries or more than 5 centuries. Because the Ayyubi dynasty started around 5, 6, 7 Hijra. About 500 57 years after the Hijrah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this introduction of this thing, maybe around 603 or so. So this was when they started the celebration in what, an elaborate way, which they copied. Over some scholars, they established, like Al-Sakhawi, for instance, though if among those who support the vision of Holy Nabi, he said they copied it from the Christians. That when the Christians are celebrating the birthday of Isa alayhi salatu was salam, that doesn't mean, isn't that justifying the fact that what? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, awla, is better. Huh? If the Christians are celebrating the birthday of their prophet, isn't the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, awla? Some of the scholars who have justified it, justify with things like this. Or somebody saying what? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted the day of Ashura because Prophet Musa alayhi salam was saved from Fir'aun. So, and the Prophet fasted, the Jews, they fasted, Prophet Musa fasted. So, that they use as evidence that what celebrating Maulid Nabi is also what is permissible, because the birthday of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more important than the killing of Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibn Hajar said this, as Suyuti mentioned in Al-Hawl al-Fatawa. So all these are what? Things that are not founded. No evidence to really show. They all agree that the Salaf did not do it. But they are looking for justification to do it. At times using what? Maybe the fasting of Ashura to justify it. Now, why didn't you say they should fast on what? On the day the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, which is on Monday. This should be what people should be encouraged to do. Monday, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam categorically said it, that he was born on Monday. Yeah? And he was fasting on Monday. He was raised on Monday. He was fasting on Monday. The day that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, nobody can say categorically that he was born on the 12th or 9th or on the 8th or 10th or 2nd. All these are statements that some scholars have said. Some of the people that he was born on the 2nd of Rabiul Awwal, some said on the 8th of Rabiul Awwal, some said on the 9th of Rabiul Awwal, some said on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, some said on the 10th of Rabiul Awwal. Different dates have been quoted as what the date he was born. In fact, they cannot really prove that he was born in Rabiul Awwal. They can't prove that he was born on... But a lot of scholars say he was born in Rabiul Awwal, but the dates, they differ. So, why it would be something of importance, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have emphasized this. So he didn't mention it. It shows it's not part and parcel of the deed. For him to have died, his companions to have died, the Tabi'un, the Atba'ul Tabi'in, and this was not practiced until the Ubaydi Yum brought it, until it was taken by the Irbil king. Now, blow it. That shows what is not part and parcel for him. So for somebody to be accusing people who stick to what has been commanded, accusing them of not loving the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they do not do what he has introduced, this is something that no any sensible person will accept. No sensible person will accept such a thing. So it is clear. Maulid Nabi, a celebration is bid'ah. Is bid'ah. This they all agree on. But some will say, what? It is bid'ah as sana. It's good bid'ah because it has something that we can use to justify it, like the fasting of the day of Ashura that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, because it was Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the people of Israel were saved from the torture of Fir'aun, and so on and so forth. So all these are what? They are what? Baseless arguments. So we stick to the love of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, going to al-hadith al-rabi wa salatun, hadith 34, He said, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu said, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قال صلاة ما كنا في وجد حلاوة الإيمان. Three things, whoever asks them, he will see the sweetness of Iman. Whoever asks three things, will see the sweetness of Iman. أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما. For him to love Allah and His Messenger more than any other person. When you love Allah and His Messenger more than you love any other thing, you will see the sweetness of Iman. Then you cannot be a true mu'min. You won't have what? The sweetness of Iman until you love Allah and His Messenger more than any other person. And we said, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ Allah said, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا They are not believers. That is, they are not true believers. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ When Allah passes a judgment and you still have something against it, that is a sign that your iman is not really established. Allah said so and so. All the messenger of Allah has given a ruling. Then you have a kind of watch. You have a kind of misgiving, so to say. You have a kind of objection. Or you are not comfortable with that. How could you expect things like this? No, we are in the 21st century. All these things that the Malams are saying, they are barbaric. All these things, they are draconian and things like that. Using all sorts of adjectives to qualify the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ Until they make you the judge in anything that transpires amongst them. So you are a Muslim, I'm a Muslim. You have any dispute amongst ourselves? Let's go back to what Allah said. What has the Messenger of Allah said on this particular issue? We look at it and what? We resolve the matter. The hawa, that is the vain desire in me and in your heart, we remove everything. The Messenger of Allah said something and that is final. This is what? The sweetness of Iman, of Iman at work. The sweetness of Iman at work. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ Then they won't have anything against it. It is one thing for you to go to admit that, okay, what has happened between both of us? Let us take it to what? To the Quran and Sunnah. That is one thing. It is another thing for you to agree to what the Quran and Sunnah says. When you go back to the Quran and Sunnah, what you see in it does not favor you. You say, no, I don't agree. Let us take it to the, what's it called? The customary court, or take it to this one. So, because what you have seen in the Quran does not favor you. There are brothers who do this. When they have one business, whatever, with somebody, or they have one dispute or the other with a person, they know that if they go by what is in the Quran or the Sunnah, they will be favored. So they prefer to watch. When I say there are brothers, take it. Or we say there are Muslims, take it. If somebody dies now, and the person lives to be questioned. The children, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shared it. This is what a female will take, this is what a male will take. How many females will be pleased with what Allah has said? Huh? Lidbakari mitlu haddu. The male will be taken twice what the female takes. The male will be taken twice what the female takes. Sisters in Gilbab, when their father dies, do they tell the people, the family, that let us what? Share this thing in accordance with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has what? As mentioned in the Quran. Very few people will say this, that brothers, I don't want to take more than my rights. Based on what Allah said in Surah Al-Nisa, I'm not more entitled than what so and so. I don't want to take more than that. Everybody will keep quiet. The sister will keep quiet and she will be given more than what she deserves. And she will take it. The sisters in hijab, they do this. No talk of what ordinary Muslims. Somebody told me that when their father died and they wanted to share the bequest of the father, so they told their elder sisters that you are supposed to share it with Bakar Mitko at the Mumbai. So the Bora took Yoruba translation of the name of the Quran, took it and placed it before the sisters. They read it and they said, hey, but you have a lot to do. When the father was hospitalized, who are those paying you? The bill. You are not telling us now that it is a Bakar Mitwa Adil Mutayyid. So they rejected. So this is the lay Muslims. But this is also common with the sisters. Likewise, the brothers. At times, you are not supposed to inherit anything in the bequest of the deceased. But to go ahead. Maybe this is what is our brother. Maybe our brother or full brother. But this disease leaves behind a male child that keeps us from what? From inheriting. We just turn our face away from that, from the verse. We follow what the people. In fact, we'll be the one to want to sit on the inheritance. Maybe the children are still young. These brothers will do. Not that they will oppose direct, but they will pretend as if what? They do not see that. So, Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah told him, حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجد في أنفسهم حرجا ثم قضيت. When they see what has been passed as judgment, as long as what is the Quran, the Sunnah, they won't have anything. وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. It's okay, Allah has judged, Allah has ruled, that's fine. Even if he doesn't favor them. But for us to say we are going to appeal, we are going to appeal. After it is clear, appealing again, you appeal the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. And that's why you see some people who are spread towards the scholarship today. Some. Like somebody was saying that this verses of inheritance, female inheriting half of what the male inherits, should be reviewed. Huh? Somebody who calls himself a scholar, they should watch the review. So, sweetness of iman is not seen until you submit. When you submit, you see the sweetness of iman. ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِي وَجَدَ لِإِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُ. To love Allah and His Messenger more than any other thing. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something, somebody says what my father says. No. They leave the word of my father. This is what the Messenger of Allah says. This is what my mother says. No. This is what the Messenger of Allah says. This is what Allah says. This is what you are following. When the mother of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu told him that he should disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the mother wanted to use the statement, the preaching of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam against Sa'd. He said, oh Sa'd, didn't you say this man said that you should obey your parents? He said, yes. You should be nice to your parents? He said, yes. I said it. He said, I'm now ordering you now to what? To go away from that man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, وَإِنْ جَاءَ دَاكَ أَلَّا تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِعِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. If they are trying to compel you towards to disbelieve in me, do not obey them. وَصَحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. At the same time, continue to be nice to them. But do not obey them. So this is what, and yakuna Allah wa rasuluhu ahabba ilayhi mimma siwahuma, that he loves Allah and his messenger more than any other person. Your words, your business and things like that, if you know if you do it this way, maybe it occurs to you that you can get more money. But when you look, you see that what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, this type of business is wrong. You refrain from doing it. Why? And yakuna Allah wa rasulu ahabba ilayhi mimma siwahuma. When you go ahead to do it, you are not saying you are not a believer. But that shows the level of what? The love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you have. It shows the love, the level of the love that you have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the one that gets the alawa, the sweetness of iman, is when in all your actions, in all your activities, Allah and His messenger are what are beloved more to you than any other person. The sweetness of iman. As human beings, the ahwa, that is the desire to come, pushing you away from following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or some issues. But what you should know is that whenever you go against what Allah has said, the love that you have for Allah and His messenger reduces. And that denies you the sweetness of the iman according to what you are, the level that you have there, you have gone. So this is something that is important. Likewise, the hadith says, وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْءُ الْمَرْآ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. And for him to love somebody, he doesn't love him except for the sake of Allah. Your wife, you love your wife because she's your wife. Your children, you love them because they are your children. Your parents, you love them because they are your children. Your parents. Your children, you love them because they are your children. Your friends, you love them because they are your friends. But don't forget to attach this love of your parents, your children, your wives, your husband, your friends. Don't forget to watch, to attach it to that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love you have for them continues to increase as long as what? They are going by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded. The love that you have for somebody, yes, that is a kind of original love, which is because this person is my wife, you love her because of that. This person is my husband, you love him because of that. This person is my child, you love him because of that. This is my wife, my parents, you love because of that. This is original love. But this love must not be detached from what? From that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A bigger love, which is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that controls the love that you have for all other people. So if the person that you love, the person is working in accordance with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, the love will be increasing. And if the person you love is what? The love, the person is acting contrary to what Allah has commanded, the love will be reducing. That is what is normal. If you love your wife to the extent that when your wife are engaged in things that are against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that love does not reduce. That means you are sick. The sweetness of iman will be there. You love your wife for a reason that has to do with dunya, that this is my wife, your husband, this is for a reason, dunya, my child, dunya, my parents, dunya. But that love must not be detached from what? It should be measured with that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more your wife is increasing in iman, a man that is serious, that has good iman, that has sweetness of iman, you see him will be loving the wife the more, because the wife is increasing in iman. Not that he will be hating the wife. So somebody who is telling his wife, "You are too religious for me," such a person has what? Sickness in his heart. The wife is increasing in iman. You should also be happy. The sweetness of iman will be there. It will be sweeter than you eating fruit, because you see your wife increasing iman. Likewise, you see your husband increasing in iman. Not that what? Say, "My husband is too religious." Huh? He's too religious. So this is what? This is the sickness of the heart. Likewise, the friends, the parents, the children. So as long as what? They are increasing iman, our heart will be happier. So this is something that is important. And when they were engaging in an act of disobedience, the love that we all have for them will be decreasing. This is a normal person, a good Muslim. That the person that he loves for one dunya reason, the love that he has for that person is increasing, because the person is what? He's doing what Allah has commanded. The love that he has for the person is increasing because the person is going away from things Allah has forbidding. For somebody being what Allah has forbidding and you are loving the person the more, this is a sign of what? Weakness of iman. It's a sign of weakness of iman. As I mentioned earlier, Imam Sufyan al-Thawri said, "You love somebody for the sake of Allah and that person is introducing bid'ah in the deen. Then you continue to love the person. That means you are sick, you have problem. You have to hate that person, at least as far as that thing is concerned. You hate the person. As far as that thing is what? It's concerned. That is kind of what? Sweetness of iman. But when you turn your sight away from that innovation that the person has introduced, or that mafia that the person is engaging in, even if he's criticized for that, you are ready to fight the one that is what criticizing him. That's what? A problem. So, أَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَةِ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. For him to love a person, and he doesn't love that person except for the sake of Allah. Except for the sake of Allah. That doesn't mean he won't love him because of what? One benefit of the dunya. But that shouldn't be the overriding factor. You love someone because the person is your wife, you enjoy one another, you do this, this person is my child, it's my father. All these are what? Have to be determined by how much the person acts in accordance with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your love for a person should be determined by your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what? Al-Hubbu Lillah. Al-Hubbu Lillah. Al-Bughdu Lillah. Al-Bughdu Lillah, you hate somebody for the sake of Allah. Not because of anything. That is what part of iman. For you to hate somebody because of Allah. Huh? You see somebody, I just hate that man. Why do you hate him? Because he doesn't give you money. Because he does no. Don't hate somebody because he does not give you. No, don't hate him because of that. When you want to hate somebody lillah, for the sake of Allah. And that is when you see somebody engaging in sins. Your heart is not comfortable with the person. The love that you have for the person begins to drop because you see him committing sins. You see him in bid'ah. That is when your love for a person for God will be reducing. The hatred will be coming in. Al-Hubbu Fillah wal-Bughdu Fillah. When you hibba al-Mar'a, la yuhibbuhu illa lillah. Then the third one is edge. وَأَنْ يَكْرَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ أَنْقَضَهُ اللَّهُ كَمَا يَكْرَ أَنْ يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. You should also detect that he goes back to kufru just as he will not want to return into hell. Huh? He doesn't want to go to Kufr. Go back to Kufr. He detests it. So, and that's why we keep good companies. The one who does not want to go back to Kufr, he has embraced Islam. The way to maintain this is for him to be keeping good company. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma sadiqin. Oh, you believe in Allah and be with what? The sadiqin, those who are truthful. So it is witness of iman for one to be keeping good company. He doesn't want to be in the company of the evil people. He wants to be in the company of the righteous ones. That is what the sweetness of iman. Sweetness of iman. So, and that's why, you know, people, they want to keep company. As they say, that al-insanu madaniyun bitabi'ihi. Naturally, human being don't stay alone. He wants a company. He wants a company. But how do you keep your company? If you keep company of good people, that's sign of what? Sweetness of iman. That is sign of sweetness of iman. So you keep company of good people, as Allah has said. Ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma sadiqin. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la tusahib illa mu'minan. Don't take as bosom friend except a believer. Wa la akul tu'amak illa taqi. The food that you prepare, make sure that those that are always eating your food are taqi. Because when you keep company of somebody, that person will be the one eating your food. If the person is a muttaqi, that means you are what? You are giving your food to the muttaqun. If the person is a fasiq, that means you are giving your food to the fusaq. So, somebody who does not want to go back to the kufr, he hates it. A Muslim who has sweetness of iman, detests going back to kufr. And all the things that will not make him go back to kufr, afterwards, after embracing Islam, he will be doing those things, keeping good companies, avoiding the bad companies and things like that. Because as we are in this world, as the scholars who say that ashubhat khatafa, things that ashubhat, that is, you know, they bring up misconceptions and things like that. Somebody who address you, who adhere to you, things that are haram, who endear to you things that are shirk, kufru. Huh? This is shubhat. We'll be reading things like this. These conceptions you bring in them. A shubhat, khatafa. Once it is raised, it what? It gets the earth. Wal kulubu da'ifa. And the earth are weak. And the earth are weak. Several times we have narrated the case of somebody called Imran bin Hattan. Imran bin Hattan was a scholar of hadith. He became a khariji because he saw a lady that he loved. And that lady, his family, they were khawarij. So he loved this lady and he proposed to the lady with the intention that after all, I'm a scholar. After all, I know this. With the intention that what? I will change him. I'll change her rather. He loved her. He loved her. But he also had the intention that what? I will knock all those bad ideologies away. So they began the relationship. Rather than what? Changing her. The lady saw, succeeded in changing him. And he became a khariji after being a good scholar. So these are scholars. Not talk of somebody who is nothing. Some people will say that Islam has said you can marry Christians. You can marry Jews. He himself is weak. Religiously, he's weak. But because he's interested in a Christian girl, or a Jewish girl, that woman does not fulfill what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. Because Allah said, وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. Those who are chaste. How many Christian girls Can you point to that are chaste or Jewish girl? All the Muslim girls, how many of them are chaste today? Now we talk of Christians, now we talk of what? Jews. So, they will say Allah said what? We can marry Christians. We can marry Christians. They will say Allah said what? We can marry al-muhsanat among the people of those who are chaste. He will remove those who are chaste. He will take what? Go to Kitab. Then you start the relationship like that. They start having children. All of a sudden, you just hear that what? He's been taken to the church. He's now attending church. That is what we hear. After he has been praying. That case is like that. Or if you say, I'm very strong in my Islam, the children that have come out of the relationship, most likely those children who end up being Christians. Because the women, they have their plots. They have cases of women who pretend they are practicing Islam with their husbands. The husband married them as Christian. Okay, I love you, but you know you are going to do my religion. I will do your religion. And she will pretend she has embraced Islam. And after that, they continue. They will be going to mosque together. After the death of the husband, she just switch to the other side. We have cases like that around. Yes, that after the death of the husband, the women watch. They went back to the region where they came from. Because it is the love that they have for the man. Just the sensual love, the heart, that made them embrace Islam. Not because they really love Islam. So, a man that really has witness of what? Of Iman, will always be afraid of going back to Kufru because he does not want to be thrown into hell. So, and this should be things that should be working towards. We are Muslims. Anything that can affect us, let's go away from it. That things that can lead you to kufru, go away from it. Things that can lead you to bidah, to becoming a mubtadi after being what? A sunni, go away from it. Things that can make you a fasik, go away from it. Because a Muslim who has witness of Iman does not want to be thrown into hell. A Muslim who has witness of Iman does not want to be thrown into hell. So things that will make him to be thrown into hell, will be avoiding those things. And those things, they can come in different ways. They come from the persuasion of wives, from the persuasion of parents, friends, husbands, and the likes. So on that, when we read the verses of the Quran, we get to know this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants one us against this like this. La tajid qawman yu'minuna billah wal yawmil akhir yuwadduna man hadda Allah wa rasulahu. You won't see those who believe in Allah and Allah taking as bosom friends to the extent that what they can compromise everything or anything for that person. Man hadda Allah wa rasulahu. Walau kanu aba'ahum, even if their parents or abna'ahum, or their children, or their brothers. Allah will like a kataba fi kulubihim al-Iman. This is because Allah has written in their heart al-Iman. The sweetness of Iman is in there. So this is something that is important. So the love of the Messenger of Allah, the love of Allah, should be above every other thing. So if the love of Allah and His Messenger is above every other thing, it is easy for one to love somebody accordingly. The love that you have for somebody will not go overboard, because the love is controlled by the love for Allah. When you see the person being upright, the love you have for him is increasing. The person not being upright, the love will be reducing. The person is pushing you towards areas that watch, you will be disobeying Allah, you ought to be hating the person. Because the love of Allah and His Messenger is above everything. And with this, you ought to be working towards moving with people that you know assist you in that. And that's the Messenger of Allah said, what? Al-Maru wa Ladin Khalil said, One is always on the religion of his bosom friend. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحْدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِي. Which one of you should know the one you are going to take as your bosom friend? Because they ruin you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us know that al-akhillah, those who are bosom friends on the day of Qiyamah, وَعَدُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٍ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. So they will become enemies. This is my bosom friend. If your bosom friend has pushed you towards things that you thrown into hell, on the day of Qiyamah, you'll be cursing one another. You'll be cursing one another. So, and that's why, don't allow people to also push you towards things that will ruin your life and your hereafter. So this is very, very important. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has led us on a path that is good. So the two ahadiths, let us ponder over them. Let us ponder over them. The first one, that لا يمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والدي وولدي والناس أجمعين. And the other one, صلاة ما كنا فيه وجد بهن حلاوة الإيمان أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما وأن يحب المرء لا يحبه إلا الله وأن يكره أن يعود في الكفر بعد إذ أنقذه الله كما يكره أن يغرق في النار. So this is very, very important. When we take this as our guide, inshallah, we will be on the right path. So we should use this to control ourselves. Yes, human beings, we are prone to all these things. But just use this as something that you'll be reminding yourself. Whenever you are trying to watch, to go astray, use this to check yourself. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا مَسَّمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا وَإِذَا مُصِرُونَ. If shaitan is about to get hold of them, تَذَكَّرُوا, it means they watch. They recollect. فَإِذَا مُصِرُونَ. Things will be clear to them. وَإِخْوَانُوا يَمُدُّونَ تُلْغَيْهِ. As for those who have been captured by shaitan, by the shayateen, يَمُدُّونَ تُلْغَيْهِ. They will continue to wallow in evil. Because they don't have what they used to stop themselves, to correct themselves. So this is something that is important. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all good Muslims and make us all in the of Al-Jannah. فصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulillah abad. With respect to some of the brothers in Islam, in the right of Eidah, so to say, that you trust or you entrust with some items and they betray you, this will be looked at from two angles. The first one is that some of them are captured by shaitan. Some of them are captured by shaitan. So the second angle is that maybe they are not good in that aspect that you have entrusted them. So when you want to entrust somebody with something, or you want to do a business with a person, it is not enough that the person is a Muslim. It is not enough that the person is a Muslim. It's not enough that the person is a Muslim. You must also confirm that the person you are engaging in wanting has the knowledge and the ability and the trustworthiness to handle that thing. Islam teaches us this. Don't say because he's a Muslim, so if I give him money, take for instance, now you want to get a car and you come to me. As an imam, now you come to me to get you a car. And I take it from you. Undoubtedly, I'm going to watch. I'm going to fail. Because that is not my field. I don't learn about that. I don't learn it. So if I take it, you say, after all, that person is a malam. So you have what? You have placed it in the wrong place. Somebody that you know knows how to do something. I come to you now, I say, want to establish a farming and these things like that. You want to be, do I know how to farm? So you give me millions of naira, and I meet somebody and he says, okay, do it this way. And what? I invest. When should I plant? When should I do this? I don't know. And everything fails. It's after the person I've given is a malam. You have to be blamed too. If I have somebody is a malam preaching, doesn't mean what? The money you have given to him, to do a business with him, that he is good in that aspect. So he is blameworthy. Should have told you that it's not my pitch. It's blameworthy too. But you are also blameworthy. Like one of our stars will always tell me that, oh, Malam Abdeni, try to tell brothers that you should come into or do one business together. I say, no, I don't do that. The reason is that what I don't trust any brother when it comes to business, because I've not done business with any brother that want to do business together. This is what my money. Yes, I did one. Somebody came, said they are doing this. Years back, I gave him 50,000. It was the same month that I gave him the 50,000 that they said they recorded loss. Which means they are using this person's money to pay this person. Which is wrong. So I don't have a trust for anybody when it comes to business. One of our stars called me recently that there is a brother that said, he knows you very well, the brother is into something of this Kurupi car or bus or so. I said, yes, I know him, the good brother. But stars, you know what I've always said, when it comes to business, I don't vouch for people. When I met the stars recently, he was telling me that the brother disappointed him. That about four or so brothers or so, they have to go to the brother to tell him, why are you behaving this way? So when they narrated this, I didn't say sorry, because I wasn't the one that was coming. Because I've seen cases. But some of these things, we are also guilty. Also because you know a brother, because he's bearded, he's putting on jumping trousers, then you say, mashallah, he should be able to do this thing. Why? Is it trained in that aspect? If it's not trained, wallah, you are going to record loss. If it's trained in that aspect, then the issue of what amana comes again. Somebody may know how to do something, but is already making money. He has not seen the profit, but he has started what? Taking his own share of it. He's good in that aspect. And that's why years back we jumped towards to the book of Bulugh. In Bulugh al-Maram, not because of anything, because of these things. So that for someone to say, I don't know, this is where you are supposed to do things. The principles that guide you doing business in Islam, these are the principles you ought to follow. In addition to what, knowing how that particular business is done. We jumped towards the Kitab al-Bulugh. But it's happening that you see still what, brothers still fumbling. Hardly you will see brothers going to business together that they won't fail. So this is something that is very, very disgusting. Don't target your profit first. Try to watch to do things well, and profit comes after. So for us to not say, okay, the Christians or the non-Muslims, they also have their own things, that they have their own shortcomings. Some of these things like this is with them too. But some of them will do it so that they can watch, they can entice you, so to say. Yes, there are some who are watch, who have amana among them. They are trustworthy. So a kafir may be a trustworthy person. Only what is a kafir. So that aspect that is a kafir, you hate him for that. But the aspect of trustworthiness, you do business with him, no harm. A believer, you hate him in that aspect of trustworthiness that you watch. He doesn't have, but you love him because of what? The iman that is in him. All this is clear. This is the way Islam looks at it. Look at it. Allah says you can marry what? A Christian as a wife. Are you with me? You can marry a Christian as a wife. If the Christian is what? Chaste. But you can't marry a Muslim that is vania. A Muslim that is vania, Allah discourages you from what? Marrying it, that is haram on you to marry a vania that is a Muslim. But a Christian that is what? Chaste, you can marry her. Look at it. So areas, these ones are good, you relate with them in these areas. But that doesn't mean you not reach the person to what? To the level of iman, because of what? The trustworthiness. Like somebody said a very bad statement. He said it was, this is ascribed to Muhammad Abdul. He said when he went to France, he saw what the French people were doing. He said, Al-Islam una wal-Muslimun una. The Muslims are in Egypt, and Islam is what? Islam is not only what, only about the worldly things. There are people who be what? They are trustworthy, they are that. Right. It's part and parcel of Islam. But the issue of what? Al-Iman billahi wahda is an integral part of Islam. So it's a wrong statement to say what? Al-Muslimu, Al-Islamu huna, wal-Muslimuna huna. That's a wrong statement. No matter how bad a Muslim is, it's far, far better than a kafir. But the area that kafir is good, we relate with him in that good area. And that will allow you that you can marry a Christian that is chaste, but you can't marry a Muslim that is what? That is done here. All this is clear. So Allah. Now. To serve up. Now the statement kusebo kusogu, meaning you should not commit shirk and you should not do medication. This statement is not correct. It's only partly correct. Kusebo, that is, you should not commit shirk, that is clear. Allah forbids us from shirk in many verses of the Quran. Bismillah of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid us of shirk, from shirk in many ahadith. But with respect to ogun, that is medication, this there is in Islam. Messenger of Allah encourages us. He said, Tadawawu ya ibadallah fa inna Allah lam yada'an illa wada' lahu dawa. In one of the reports, alimahu man alimahu wa jahilahu man jahila. He says, O servants of Allah, seek medication for your ailments. But there is no any ailment except it has its cure. Those who know, know. And those who do not know, do not know. So that is ogun, so to say, in Islam. Unless if it has to do with shirk. He said, Wala tadawa bi haram. Do not do medication with something that is what? Haram. That is shirk or that is of ma'asiyah. So like seeking medication with intoxicants, with pork and the likes. So if what the person means that there is no shirk and no medication with what is haram, then it's correct. But what those people say is, what they mean by that is that you don't take any medication. You don't take any medication. One of my uncles, Allah forgive him, joined the group. So I visited him one day. So we were arguing on this. He was trying to watch to lure me into their jama'ah. So that's been long. So I was trying to explain to him the faultiness of their ideology. So we argued for long. After a while, he said to one of his daughter, he said, he asked the daughter to go and get us meat and egg and bread that we should eat. Said, it's good for the body. I said, instead of that, we can drink garri now. Let's drink garri instead of this. Don't you know that this that you are taking, since you also acknowledge that it's good for body, don't you know it's medication for the body? So he kept quiet, he couldn't say anything. Though he didn't leave that jama, he died in that jama, he fell ill, and he refused to take what treatment. And after a while, he died. And it's not compulsory to take medication. It's only what advice to you. Why is it not compulsory? Huh? There was a case of the woman that went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, inni usra wa atakashya. I will have epilepsy. And whenever it happened to me, I undress myself. So fad'u lani, invoke Allah for me, supplicate for me. As Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, watch, in shi'ti sabarti wa lakil jannah. If you like, you can be patient with this ailment of yours, and al-jannah is going to be yours. Wa in shi'ti da'awtu Allah alak. And if you wish, I will supplicate to Allah to heal you of this ailment. The lady said, Ud'u la'ali Allah takashya. Supplicate to Allah that whenever I'm afflicted with this thing, that I have the crisis, that I should not be ungrateful myself. So she preferred to continue with the ailment. But whenever she had the crisis, she did not want to watch, to be undressing herself. So the scholars, Ibn Taymiyyah and many other scholars, they said it's an evidence that it is not compulsory for you to seek medication, but on condition that what you can get it. Some people, when they fall ill, they don't take mercy. Some will pray, supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is not the medication that you take, that you watch, that will cure you. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is. So some people will prefer to supplicate. But is it permissible for us to take drugs and the likes? Yes, as long as it's not haram. So this is permissible. This is also what? Permissible. Dua is permissible, this is permissible. It's not haram to take medication. As long as what you are taking is not. So, and that's why when scholars they look at the matter, some said it's wajib to take medication. Some said it's not wajib. And this is what majority of scholars are upon. It's not wajib. But on condition that if you say you are not going to take medication, you should not be fidgeting. Somebody put on false clothes of iman. What you can't bear, you want to claim that you can bear it. Then in that case, it becomes blameworthy. Because Allah has allowed you to take this, but you prefer what? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he was sick, he said, Allah nabi ulaka tabib. Won't we call for you the doctor? He said, come here, the doctor has seen me. Referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the doctor has seen me. So he refused to take medication when he was what? On the sick bed, he refused to take medication. So they wanted to go and bring the doctor. He said, Kodiyarani, the doctor has what? Has seen me. So all these are what the scholars they use as evidence that it's not compulsory to take medication. But the one who wants to say, okay, I'm not going to take medication, if he's seen the crisis and was suffering from it, he shouldn't complain. So when he starts complaining, that means he has what? Put on false clothes of what? Of iman, something that you can't bear. So Allahu alam. That is, if you are in a sitting, make sure that what? Okay. This is not a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it's something that is good. You are in a gathering, you have those who watch, who educate you as far as your Islam is concerned, and those that if you have any problem there, there will be those that will treat you. So this is good, but we can't say it's for compulsion. Now, as for brothers or sisters that are in places where they are surrounded by those who invite them to things of sin, things of shirk or kufru, are they advised to leave that place? If they know it's going to affect their iman, then definitely it will be compulsory on them to leave that place. But if something that is not going to affect their iman, that they protect themselves by being carried away by these people, so there is nothing wrong in being there. Only that they don't partake in things that are against Islam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَةِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَأْذَوْ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ. It has been revealed to you in the book that when you are in a place where people are making jest of the books of Allah, they are making jest of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ. Don't sit with them. حَتَّى يَقُولُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ, until they engage in something else. Which means you can be in the midst of some people that are not pious at times if there is need for that. But make sure you protect yourself from being carried away by them, from falling for them. إِنَّكُمْ إِذَانْ مِثْلُهُمْ. If you fall for them, you are the same. إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَامِعُ الْمُنَافِكِينَ وَالْكَافِرِينَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ جَمِيعًا. The munafiqun and the kafirun, Allah is going to gather all of them in Jahannam. May Allah save us from this. Now, considering our society, we have a lot of non-Muslims in our society. Our places of work, a lot of non-Muslims there. So what you do is for you to protect yourself from being loved by these people. But for us to say, okay, you can't work with them, where are you going to work? Where are you going to work? It's just like somebody saying, okay, I won't walk on the streets because there are a lot of nude ladies going on the streets with their head uncovered, with their neck exposed, some of them exposing their thighs. Where are you going to walk? Are you going to walk, remain in your houses? No. You walk on the streets, but you lower your gaze as much as possible. That is in such a way that will not harm you. So this is what you do. So we are living in the environment where things like that. Unlike places like Saudi Arabia, for instance, may Allah protect that place, where you hardly see people with their head uncovered. In fact, in the past, you hardly see women with their faces exposed. So and that's why when some of their men see women with faces exposed, maybe some their necks exposed, they go mad. They are carried away and they are ready to do a lot of things because these are things they are not brought up on. You know, when somebody is not brought up with a fahisha and he sees the opportunity to do that thing, the person is what? Is disturbed. So we are living in an environment where you can't avoid so many things that is ordinarily, except with extra caution. So what you do is what? You see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Wallahu a'lam.
Thank you.
Now the question is, somebody wants to employ a person for a position or a post, and the applicant, one of them is a Muslim with less experience, the other is a non-Muslim with better experience. So which one should one go for? Should one consider the Islam of this person? Or so if what you want to employ them for is something that just needs little experience, not much experience, then you go for the Muslim to assist your brother in Islam. But if something that needs much experience, then you go for the one that is qualified for it. This is Islam. This is what Islam. On condition that what? The non-Muslim is not going to affect you with what? With his akida. You have to protect against that so that you won't be affected by it. But what you need him for? Nothing. A Muslim can employ a non-Muslim, and a non-Muslim can employ a Muslim. Ali radiallahu anhu had been employed towards to fetch water from the well by a Jew that will give him dates, and he what? He did that. This is Sunan Abi Dawud or so. So you can employ a non-Muslim to do something, particularly when you know that he is what? The best person as far as that thing is concerned. Only you protect your religion. So it depends on what you want to employ them for. If you need something that is somebody that is well experienced in the thing, mostly because somebody is a Muslim. Because if you employ a Muslim with less experience in something and it destroys your property or item, don't blame Islam, blame yourself for what? For not being smart or so, alive. Yes. Now the question is, it is established that the Messenger of Allah was born on Monday. So, and when he was still fasting on Monday, the companions asked him, "Why are you fasting on Monday?" He said, "That's the day that I was born and the day I was raised as a messenger." So can we do qiyas and say what? I will be fasting the day I was born. Maybe I was born on the Wednesday. I will be fasting on every Wednesday. That's what I'm saying. Same thing. Can I fast on the Wednesday because I was born on the Wednesday? We say, who are you to Islam? Huh? Who are you to Islam? You are not to Islam. So you are not a prophet, nor a you, nor are you a companion. So we don't need your fasting. So fast, if you want to fast, that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not you bringing what? A fasting because you are born on a Wednesday. So we don't need you. You are not the one to tell us what to do in Islam. So it's Islam that will tell you what he wants you to do. So Islam wants you to fast on a Monday because of what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Wallahu alam. The particular way is it? Okay, that we are talking about dates now. The same thing. Whether he was born on 6th of December or 10th of December, he is not a figure in Islam. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our prophet. Abu Bakr never did that, Umar never did that, Uthman did not do that. None of the Salaf did that. And that's why scholars they say those people who say they are celebrating the birthday of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Messenger of Allah told you what to do, fast on Monday, and that's the end. But for you to be looking for the month he was born, which month did he tell you? Did he tell you he was born in Rabiul Awal? No. Did he tell you he was born on the 12th of Rabiul Awal? So since he didn't tell you, he has told you the day he was born, the day he was born, and he will fast that. If truly you want to worship Allah, but you are interested in something else, that's why you have what introduced the 12th of Rabiul Awal, 9th of Rabiul Awal. So Messenger of Allah has nothing to do with what you have introduced. So Allahu A'lam. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhanaka. Thank you.